Have any of you been reading about the history of the Hebrew Bible? Anyone? Cindy, have you gone into that any at all? Roger? All right. It's pretty interesting. I thought maybe some of you might have. In the beginning of some of the Bibles, there's some of you new in the class, so here is a Jewish Publication Society. This is basically the Jewish Bible that they use. It has English and Hebrew in it. It starts from the wrong way, of course, from the backside and goes forward. All right? It is not a bad Hebrew text. See it out there. These are going up on the internet pretty quickly. Brother Randall is getting up a lot. Not the best Hebrew text, but it's pretty good. Their translation is horrible, and its interpretation is not translation at all. I think you have seen this, haven't you? Roger, I don't know if you saw it all this enough. All right. It tells a little bit of the history of the Hebrew Bible. And in short, it says that the Hebrew text, except for the Dead Sea Scrolls that we have, came from the Greek Septuagint. That's why we refer to the Greek Septuagint so much. Now, we have the Dead Sea Scrolls, which no one has done much of a study from. You can probably buy some of those or whatever, but it's written in ancient Hebrew, which is different than the modern Hebrew. The letters, you can kind of make them out, but they're not as distinct. Here's an old... some of them, then you have a Hebrew interlinear, which I have written here. Here was my old Hebrew interlinear that I used and wore out for so many, many years. Anyway, it's pretty good. It's green, what they call greens, interlinear, which you can get. You might be familiar with some of these. This is pretty good. But nothing's perfect, of course. This has probably got one of the best Hebrew printed texts there is. There's 3 volumes of... It looks like it's wore out, doesn't it? There are 3 volumes of greens that if you get a Hebrew Bible, make sure the text is good because you can hardly read Hebrew. The text is terrible in most Hebrew texts. The printing is bad. I don't know why, but it just is, and they print so small. I had one a long time ago. It was stolen. I had a German one, which was the best I ever saw. It was a big Bible about like this and about that wide and had a margin this wide on it, which you could write all in between, and you can even write in between. It was enough space between them, but I don't have it anymore. I've got one like it, kind of, but not like that original. I thought I'd just bring these out to show them to you. Here is the Analytical Hebrew and Chaldean Lexicon by Davidson, okay? If you want to look at this later on. This is one that you really need. This is an analytical lexicon. This one will tell you every part of speech it has. All right? And, of course, the cross-reference to Brown, Driver, and Briggs, and Kohler, and Baumgartner. All right. A little bit of an introduction. The Bible characters, the customs of the day, were so much different than what we are today and how we live and practice and everything. It's just absolutely shocking, to say the least. Shocking when we read some things in the Bible. It shocks us. And so we'll go to those and we'll comment on it a little bit, not too deeply sometimes, but enough to where you can understand. The customs of the Bible were so much different than now, the manners and customs of the Bible. How many of you have ever read a book on the manners and customs of the Bible? That's something you can read. That's good for you. Alfred Edersheim wrote a book, a very thick book, called The Life and Times of Jesus the Messiah. And it tells about the culture of the day. Okay? As we come to these different characters, we're going to tell a little bit about it. And then the Hebrew commentaries and rabbinical commentaries have a lot to say about different things. And I will comment on that a little bit now and then. All right. Watomer. Elof. Gom. Tevan. Gom, Mispah, Rob, Emanu, Gom, Magom, Lalun. All of these trees are blooming, and they don't get along with me. My nose runs like a faucet sometimes. And she said, why do we know it? She said? Third person, feminine, singular, cow, wow, consecutive, and perfect. Page 55 and page 65 are the two lexical references. 55 in Brown, Driver, and Briggs, page 65 in Kohler and Baumgartner. I should have taken a Benadryl before I got here, but if I had taken that, mine might have fallen asleep on you up here. And she said unto him, both, Gom, both straw, look at this. Now, who's speaking here? Remember how biblical interpretation, who's speaking? Rebecca speaking. All right. And Rebecca is probably a pretty young girl. Let me just tell you this. I'm going to tell you some how far-reaching this is, okay? And Rebecca said, straw, both, and fodder, plenty with us. Both, place to rub out the night. Okay? Now, this is what some rabbinical authors say. That Isaac was probably about 40 years old here. Okay? Maybe 50. And that Rebecca, or not Rebecca, but Rachel here, was 3 years old right here. That's far-reaching, because she was probably 12 or 13. Okay? Think about that for a while. And they said that was the reason why Rebecca and Isaac, when they got married, they didn't have any kids for 20 years because she wasn't 20 years old or 19 years old until a long time later. But this girl was doing a lot of hard labor, remember? She was drawing from this, so this girl wasn't 4 years old. She might have been 8 or 10 years old. Maybe. If she was 8 or 10 years old, she was a hard worker. Regardless. This is some of the Bible commentaries and rabbinical writings, okay, that you go back. The times and their dates of their lives are far-reaching in some of the commentaries and even the studies, the chronological studies. They can be way off from one commentator to the other. And she said unto him, both straw, all right, taban, straw, akura is what it is in Greek, and both, and that's chi in Greek, and then fodder, that's kartismata. Fodder, plenty with us. Both a place that is a living space, a barn. You know, when you went into to a foreign land, everybody was expected to be hospitable. One of the things that they said about Job in defending himself. One time he said, I'm not a robber, I'm not a crook, I'm not selfish. If a stranger comes into my land, I don't let them sleep outside. I bring them right into my house and I feed them and let them sleep in my bed. Okay, that was expected. You were at least expected to put up any stranger. And this guy wasn't a stranger here. This is their blood kin. This is going to be Isaac's first cousin. Okay? So these are real close relatives. And so he said, we have straw and we have fodder. We have a barn to keep your camels and your animals in. And we have food for you and food for them. All right. To spend the night. Rub out time. Anyone say that first word there? Look at it and say it there? I know you can read the English up above it. Why yikud? Why yikud? Okay. Ha'ish. Wayishta hu. Okay. And then we have le and ha the bar. or whatever. There's the word Jehovah right there, okay? And he bowed, the man. All right, and he bowed. He prostrated himself right on the ground. He fell on his face. The man, whole anthropos in the Septuagint. And he prostrated himself flat out on the ground. And he kept on staying that way. He bowed, third person, master, senior, cow, while consecutive, imperfect. And he kept on prostrating himself, third person, masculine, singular, hip, L, while consecutive, imperfect, to the Lord. He was worshiping the Lord, thankful to God. He was thankful. Pros, kene, say, it meant he bent the knee forward. It means he bends the knee. That means pros, kene, means to bend the knee, to kuryu, to Jehovah. All right. 24, 27 now. Are you ready for this one, Hannah? Wayomer. All right. Wayomer. Baruch. And then we have the name Hashem or Halabar. Yeah. Elohi. Adonai. Abraham. Asher. Lo. Azav. Hasdo, Y-A-Mitto, Me'im, Adonai, Anoki, Bo-Darek, Na-Chanu. And it goes on a little bit further. We have Ha-Dabar there, or the word, the Jehovah. Beth, Achi, Adonai. All right. He's being thankful. What? Got one in my mouth. All these allergies. And he said and kept on saying, having blessed, third person, masculine, singular, cow, while consecutive, imperfect, and he kept on saying, masculine, singular, call, participle, and perfect. Having blessed Jehovah, God, my master. Jehovah God has blessed my master, Abraham. Abraham. Does anyone have the Amplified Bible here with you? You got one there, brother? Okay. Get ready to read that in just a minute. My master. Now he calls Abraham his master, which not discontinued his kindness. Has. Hasdo. And then his kindness. And has truth from with my master. Alright. My master. Anoki. Badarek. Nach Tani. Hadavar. Beth. Ati. You can sit down up here any place. We're in Matthew. Not Matthew this morning. We're in Genesis. Barashith 24:27 right now. House of the Achi, the brothers of my master. In Greek it reads, Iodoke, Kyrios, Ace, Elkoin, Oikon, Tu Adelphu, Tu Kyrio, Mu. And he guided the Lord unto the house of the brothers of the Lord of me. All right. Let's go back now and read Genesis 24, 25 through 27. Brother Don?
25 through 27?
Yeah.
He said also to him, we have both straw and provender enough, and also room in which to walk. bow down your head and worship the Lord. And said, blessed be the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who has not left my master Pharaoh and destitute of his loving kindness and steadfastness. As for me, going on the way of obedience and faith, the Lord led me to the house of my master's kinsman.
All right. Young lady, do you have your Living Bible tonight? No, you don't have. You didn't have the Living Bible tonight. All right. I should have brought that thing in. I wanted to look at several different ones here. Now let's get the background here. Now we have Rebecca. All right, Rachel, that is. No, Rebecca. As you can see, I've got allergies so bad I can't hardly think. Anyway, this young lady is between 3 years old and probably 13, okay? Some of the rabbinical writers say she was 3 years old here. I don't think she's going to be hauling all this water or anything there. She's probably at least 10, 12, 13 years old, okay? She is going to take him to the house, and he falls down, and he's thanking Jehovah, the Lord and the God of his master, that he has guided him to his family. All right? Now, we see God's hand in all of this. She's going to allow him to take her from a land far away. How old are you, Hannah?
10 years
old. So she may have been about the age of Hannah, or maybe just a little older. How would you like somebody to come and put a ring in your nose? All right. Remember when we talked about the ring in the nose? How big was that ring, Brother Harry? I didn't give you one of those. Do you remember that bullet I gave you here last week? I brought bullets in my pocket here a while back, and we handed them all out. Who got some of those bullets? Roger got one of them. It was 200 grains. Now, this piece of gold that he stuck in her nose, and she had a hole cut, drilled in her nose already. She was a virgin, so she did not wear a veil, and they could see her nose had a hole in it, so she was not married. Of course, she was young. She probably was young. She probably was 10 to 14 years old, okay? She is young, but she has a hole drilled in her nose, pierced already, to accept a ring when she's engaged. And he gave her a ring in her nose that was 224 grains. A .45 caliber bullet that most of the police officers carry around is 230 grains. That's a pretty heavy bullet. Now, think about that heavy ring in her nose. Why did he have such a heavy ring? Why did he make her... How heavy were the bracelets? 20-some-odd hundred carats apiece. Or grains apiece. Why did he have such heavy bracelets and this nose ring to engage her with? Because his master was rich. He wanted to show him that he was not some poor guy. Abraham was rich. All right? Isaac was rich. All right? Let's go on now. Wat haratz. Hana'ara. Wat haged. Roger, read that to me in modern Hebrew now. Wat haratz. Hana'ara. Okay. And then Wat haged. All right. And then Lavit, Ema, Kadavarim, Ha'ile. All right, let's go and look at this now. And she kept on running. She kept on running. All right. The maiden. All right, the servant or the maiden. And she made known. Look at that. She kept on running. Third person feminist singular, cow, wow, consecutive, imperfect. And she made known, third person feminine singular, hithel, wow, consecutive, imperfect, to the house, lavet. Lamet on the front of a word is what? That's a preposition. All right? A bath on the front of a word is a preposition. Right here it says to the house. You just add it in here.
Now, in Greek, it would be different. It's lamap here, okay? In Greek, it would be like this, pros. Hebrew is like Greek shorthand, or shorthand, all right, compared to Greek.
All right,
let's go on. To the house, to the Beth, Emma, of her mother, and then it's Ka Davarim, according to things. I want you to look at that word. What is in this word? We have ki right on the front of it, which means because of or according to. What else? Davar. Davar is in that word, isn't it? What does davar mean? Davar means a lot of things. What does it mean? It means things that are lined up. It can mean soldiers. It can mean a tree line, a fence line. It can mean a line of words. And here, it means according to whatever has happened, according to the things that happened in order. What we call events. Events, all right? And then the yod and mem at the end of it tells us what? That's plural. All right. Kadavarim. According to the events that have taken place. The these. Ha-ele. The is a definite article. And then ele, the these. Now in Greek it says kai, dra musa, hei pais, ana gale en, eis ton oikon tais, metos altais. And running, da dramos, dramos, and running the maid, hei pais, the maid, the young maid, she ana anangelen. We get a word angel from that. She announces up. She hollers up and messages up, is what it says, unto the house, the oikos, of the mother of her, to her mother's house. Now get the idea of how old this girl is. This girl is probably not much older than Hannah back there, okay? She's run home. She's already a hard worker. They have prepared her to get married because girls get married really young, okay? Now, later on, Jacob takes off and runs over here. The same place. Jacob's at least 40 to 50 years old, maybe 40 to 60 years old when he does this, by the way, when he gets there. And he goes to work for Laban. And how old is Rebecca? Rachel and Leah, that is. How old is Rachel and Leah? Huh? Really young. What did you say?
One.
Well, some of the biblical commentators say that that Rebecca here was 3 years old. We know that she probably wasn't 3 years old. She's probably young, but not 3 years old. When her and Isaac got married, they didn't have a kid for 20 years. Because probably she had to grow up. Okay? Now here, we have Jacob going over there to the same period, place, the same area, and he goes over there. He's probably 40 to 60 years old, somewhere in that range. He comes along and he sees Rachel out there at the well. And Rachel, they say, was at the most 13 or 14 years old. Okay? Still not much older than Hannah. And he falls in love with her at first sight. She's got a sister that's only 1 year older than her, 1 year older than her. All right, 1 year older. And the Bible, well, we'll get into that a little bit later, but it said Leah could just slay somebody with her look, her eyes. It would make men weak. A lot of the commentaries say that she had weak eyes, she might have had blue eyes. She probably had blue eyes. Most of the Bible commentaries and rabbis think. But the blue eyes were just absolutely... A girl in those days with blue eyes was to sweep you off your feet. So the men, when they looked at her eyes, it would make them weak. Okay? That's what it meant. Yes?
Wasn't that the way they looked at Rebecca?
Well, Rebecca was very beautiful. And Rachel probably took after her. But she was very young. This girl's pretty. And she's young. All right? Here they are. All of these girls are young when they go and they get engaged to them, okay? What? It's different than us today. I mean, how many men would have somebody put their hand on their male organ and swear by it like Abraham did? That's really weird, people. But that is not our culture. This is different culture than what we got today. So things are going on here in the Bible that are totally weird to us. But you know what? We would be totally weird to them. As simple as that, too. We would be just as weird to them as they are to us, okay? And God was not ashamed to put all this stuff down in His Word. So we just have to look at it like that, okay? There wasn't anything wrong with it. Was there? He wanted to put it down. All right. Where did we finish? 29. We're on 29 now. Rivka. You live at Rivka, that is. Ak. Yishmo. Laban. Vayaras. In modern Hebrew, it would be Vayaras. Okay, Laban, El, Ha'ish, in modern Hebrew would be Ha'is, Ha, Hatsa, and El, Ha'ayim. And to Rebekah, brother, his name. All right, to Rebekah, Rebekah. And to Rebekah, brother, his name. And his name. Laban. What does Laban mean? 526 is where you look at it in Brown, Driver, and Briggs. What does Laban mean? Do you remember what Laban means? Whitey. He might have had white hair. His name is Whitey. That's what Laban means, Whitey. Or he was light complected, okay? All right. And he ran. Boy, I mean, he got with it. Now Laban is all excited. He's going to make some money. Laban, guy, we're going to see him a little bit later. Laban didn't quite do so well with this fella as he did with Jacob. All right? And he ran. He galloped. Laban. All right? Unto the man. Outside unto the spring, the fountain. All right? The flowing well. This Ha'ayim, this flowing well. Wahi, or Bahi, Kiroth, Eth, Hana'izim. All right. Look at that. That's the nose ring. We Eth, Hats, Se'medim. All Yedei. Acha to you ki shamu et devre Rivka Achota Lemor. That even rolls that R there, Lemor. Ko Dever Ele. Ha'ish, Wayavu, El, Ha'ish, We, Hine, Omed, Al, Hagamalim, Al, Ha'ayin. Let's go back and look at this now. And became, and it had taken place. That's how you can put that, and had taken place. See the wow on the front of that? That's and. Here we have a conjunction. And had taken place, seeing him, cal infinitive. All right, seeing him. And it's cal infinitive construct, but the suffix is third person masculine singular. Cal infinitive construct. And seeing him, then the sign of the direct object. See that? What is the Greek sign of the direct object? Ace. All right. It means extension or limitation of thought or verbal action. Now he sees. What does Laban see? What does he see? Gold. Heavy gold. That's what he sees, a great big mold ring. And I wish I'd brought that thing again. that's heavy. You can throw that thing and you can knock a dent. Just by throwing that, you can knock a dent in that steel cabinet right back here if you threw it at with your hand. You can knock. Any of you bring, did you bring that one, Roger? No. Marilyn, you didn't bring yours either because you left yours at home too. Did you have yours in your pocket? Oh, the dog ate yours. The nose ring. Hanazim. The nose ring. Here's this 224 carat grain nose ring. 224 grain nose ring. Now, I'm going to tell you, that 230 grain 45 caliber bullet, 451 diameter bullet, that they shoot people with to stop them. And that's what they do. They stop them. If you want to kill somebody, shoot him with a 22. If you want to stop him, shoot him with a 45. That's got a whole lot of force to stop you with. They use those to stop people. Long time ago, most of the officers used to carry 38 specials or 38 long Colts in the old days. But they found out as people were drugged up and doped up, they couldn't stop them with a 38. By the way, a 38 is not a 38. Did you know that? A 38 is a 36 caliber. 357 and 358 diameter, okay? The reason they got that was in the Civil War, they had these six-shooters they called Colt Navies and Colt Armies that were 36 caliber. They weren't 38 caliber, they were 36 caliber. And they took and converted them after when they came out with metallic cartridges, and they called those 38s. By the way, Jesse James was shot twice in the chest with a 38 or a 36 caliber Navy, and he carried those till he's dead. Most of the time when they shot somebody with those little bullets like that, they didn't have so much velocity behind them. A 22, the reason why it kills you, it bounces around inside of you, all right? It's only about 50 or 60 grain. But a 230 grain bullet at 800 or 900 feet per second will stop you. And that was a heavy nose ring she had in her nose. That's the same grain, 224 grains, that she had in her nose. It's going to make her nose sag. Okay? So Laban saw this heavy nose ring in her nose. He sees all of this gold. All right? And it stops him in his tracks. This guy's rich. All right, the nose ring. And who was the guy, who was the servant of Abraham?
Eliezer.
All right. He's a good guy. And sign of the direct object. And the bracelets. Look at that. And the hatzemedim. And the bracelets. And the bracelets were like 2,240 grains apiece. That's a lot of gold on each bracelet, 2,240 grains on each arm. Heavy. This is about a pound of gold that she's got carrying around on her, okay? And the bracelets upon her keteros, her hands, or her arms, okay? Her arms. Gold on her arms and hands. His sister, Achotah, his sister. And hearing, Yukeshamu, all right. Here we have the name Simeon comes from this word. And according to the hearing is what it actually literally says. Shemo is the root, cal infinitive construct, suffix third person masculine singular. And hearing him, the words, Devre, here we have the words now that are literal. We can translate this literally. This is not events. This is not the name of God, Hadabar, or any of that. This is the words now. She hears the words of Rebekah, Rivkah, his sister. All right? How do you say sister in Greek? All you Greek students. Adelphe, Adelphe. And just let me say this while we're there. Adelphe and Adelphos, what does it literally mean? Brother and sister, what does it literally mean? Adelphe and Adelphos. It means from the same womb. From the same womb. Delta. Ah, Delta. From the same womb. All right, his sister. Saying, Lemur. That comes from a matter. This is call infinitive construct. And then ko is thus or in this matter. Uto is the Greek equivalent to that. And then he spoke. He spoke with a hard, he spoke loudly and clearly and definitely. All right? That's what it means. Third person masculine singular, PL perfect. He spoke and it was done. He had spoken. All right? Unto me. Ha'ish, the man. And he came. All right? Unto the man. And behold, wihine, and behold, standing. Mal, masculine singular, cal participle, and standing, el hagamalim, by the camels. By the camels. What does camel mean? What does camel mean? What is the etymology of the word camel? Camel. Kamalos. In Greek, kamalos. And dama. Lee, Domeline here. What does camel mean? You never remember in the New Testament there was a guy by the name of Gamaliel. Gamaliel. That was one of Paul's teachers, Gamaliel. What does camel mean? Come on, you've got to remember these words. This is really important. Remember the etymology of this. Camel means a gift. A gift. Or a servant. A gift. And Gamaliel's name meant gift of God. Gamaliel. Camels are a gift. Camels are a gift, especially in that country over there, because they have to travel across all of this country over there for many, many miles. And the only animal that can go across some of those deserts that will suck up all that water, and remember, as we talked about Rebecca there, she kept hauling water for these thirsty camels. I mean, she probably hollered to it. Haul 200 or 300 gallons of water to water them. Because a camel takes a long way. They brought, you know, the Beale Clock Tower? That's over here on, it used to be downtown. But the Beale Clock Tower was named after General Beale. That was the original owner of the Tejon Ranch. And he and the president, what became the president of the Southern States of America. Remember him? Jefferson Davis? Jefferson Davis? He was also the Secretary of Defense and the Secretary of War. He and Beale had a camel experiment. They said the camels were the most wonderful animals that God ever created on the earth. They were a gift of God. And they came up here, and at Fort Tejon, they had the camel experiment. They were going to run camels from one end of this country to the other as a camel express. Not the Pony Express, but the camel express. They said that the camels could outwalk anything over the Mojave Desert than anything had ever been. And by the way, they proved it. They were the best. They even got camel drivers and everybody over here to drive the camels. But after Jefferson Davis succeeded from the Union with the Southern states, Beale didn't have anybody to back him up, and the camel experiment just finally died off. Finally died off. But Beale said that camels were a gift of God, and so did Jefferson Davis. That's a little of your local history here, okay? By the camels, the gifts. By the flowing water, by the ha'ayin, all right? By the flowing water. And in Greek, it's epites peges. Peges is a fountain or a running well. Okay? Cindy, are you there in your Amplified Bible someplace or whatever? Let's see what it says here. Where did you finish off? 28 the last time or 27? Let's read from there with the Amplified.
And said, blessed be the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who has not left my master bereft and destitute of his loving kindness and steadfastness. As for me, going on the way of obedience and faith, the Lord led me to the house of my master's kinsman. The girl related to her mother's household what had happened. Now Rebekah had a brother whose name was Laban, and Laban ran. saw the earring and nose ring and the bracelets on his sister's arms, and when he heard Rebekah, his sister, saying, the man said this to me. He went to the man and found him standing by the camels at the well.
All right, just remember that Rebekah is probably near Hannah's age, all right? Somewhere around Hannah's age. She's a young girl. This is her mama's house. She has known nothing else, ever. But God has prepared her heart. He has blazed the trail for Eliezer and put her at the well at the right time, just like God, in His providential planning, His eternal purpose, placed Rachel at the well, the same well. All right? They're the women at the well. Okay? This is beautiful. Now, every time it says the God of Abraham, it's using the name Jehovah there, okay? This is the word Jehovah. And what does Jehovah really mean? It comes from what root? What's the root of Jehovah? That's it. Become. Become. And Jehovah means the one who shall become. John 1:14 in the New Testament tells you who it was. And the word, Hadabar, the Jehovah, flesh, He became. As simple as that. Flesh, He became. Again, it's all. Not only did He become flesh, but Jesus brought Himself into the world in flesh. Jesus came into the world by Himself. He brought Himself, middle voice, into the world. And aorist tense is posterior action. Middle voice and aorist tense. Very important. All right. Camel means what?
Gift.
All right. Remember that. Gift. Wyomer. Bow. Baruch. And then we have the word Hadabar there. And then Lamah. Ta'amod. Ba-chutz. Wa'anoki. Paniti. Habayit. And Umagom. Lagamalim. All right. And the cross references to this are Genesis 29:13, 26:29, 18:3-5, 19:2-3, Ruth 3:10, and Psalm 115 and verse 15 now. And he said and kept on saying, you come in. You come in. All right, mask and a singer, call imperative. You come in. Had blessed, mask and singer, call perfect, had blessed, having blessed Jehovah. Why? Do you stand in street? Why do you stand in the street? And I have prepared the house and the standing place for camels. Alright? I have prepared the house and I've prepared a barn for the camels, a standing place for them. Jehovah has blessed you. We know that Jehovah has led you here. We accept that. Why do you stand out in the street? And I have prepared. First person construct singular. PL perfect. I have prepared the house. Ha bayith, the house. And a standing place for your camels. And a barn for your camels. In foreign lands, I want you to understand something. How far was it approximately from where they were to where he went here? You know? About how far? About 400 miles or so. Okay? A long way. Now, on the road, the first time my family ever went to Oklahoma, I was a little old kid. And we took out across the desert, Mojave. We took off right when I got out of the second grade. They picked me up at the school. I got in my uncle's pickup, my Uncle Jim's pickup, and we took off and we went out into the middle of the Mojave Desert someplace. It may have been only over there, maybe Barstow or something. And we just pulled off the side of the road and camped. We threw out blankets on the road, on the side of the road, and we got sandwich, we got bread, and we got bologna and all kinds of stuff. We had water to drink and whatever. We just stayed on the side of the road. Now, if you did that, what would happen?
Bugs arrested, your car would get stolen.
All kinds of neat things. Back in these days, at this time, things haven't changed because that would have happened right back here. Now, every place that they went, every so miles, every 20 or 15 or 20 miles, there was a rest area. Now we have rest areas, don't we? We have rest areas. Out across the Mojave Desert, out at Kozo Junction, there's a rest area. And there's a rest area in Tehachapi. There's a rest area up there by Lebec. And all over the place, there's rest areas. And by the way, the cops come in here and look around. Back at this period of time, they had rest areas every place there was a well or a cistern where they could haul water. And you went in there, and it was a walled rest area to protect your camels, to protect your belongings and everything else, and you stayed over here in this area. When Joseph and Mary were on the way to Bethlehem, they stayed at different rest areas all along the way in these rest areas. There were rest areas built all along the side of roads. And everybody came in there. They minded their own business. They stayed in there. And with numbers, there is what?
Safety.
All right. Remember that. That's always been that way. We think that right now that things are really bad. Things were really bad back then. Barabbas. Barabbas, in the Bible times, was a highwayman. He was a robber, a thief, and a killer. And the two buddies that were crucified with Jesus were his gang. This was a gang of outlaws. And they were out robbing and killing people, and they were going up and down the roads. You have the guy, the Samaritan, that helped the guy that had been robbed on the side of the road and left for dead, without there. They robbed women and children, and all of them were laying on the side of the road, either dead or dying. That happened all the time. You just didn't travel after dark. And when you traveled with an idea that you were going to make it to the rest area. Now what Laban has got here, this is a rest area. I'm going to make you safe. Your camels are going to be safe. They're not going to be stolen. They're going to be in a barn. They're going to be in a sheepfold. All the sheep were in sheepfolds at night. They weren't out in the open pastures. They were in sheepfolds. So now he's prepared all of this. His camels are safe. They probably had goats with them. You had to carry your portable food. The Spanish carried hogs. Wherever they went, they had hogs. Did you know that? When they went from Spain over here, they had the ship, the whole bottom of the ship was loaded down with ballast with hogs. And they'd kill them as they go, and they would eat the hogs, and the hogs reproduce. You know, hogs have a lot of kids, babies, little pigs. So they bring them over here, and they come to America, and that's how the hogs got loose over here in America. They got loose from the Spanish. Okay? Here they carried portable meat, so they had to have lamb, and they had to have goats, and they had camels and all this they carried with them all the time. Because here we're going to have a long journey, and there's a lot of rest stops between there and here. This was going to be his safe little Eden here. This was going to be his safe little rest area. You can stay here, and he's going to try to get him to stay there as long as he can so he can rip him off. We know Laban is capable of that, don't we? But right here, it's not going to work. When you look in the Word of God deeply like this, it is nice, isn't it? Isn't it beautiful that you have all the things you have? There's some surprises in there, but it's beautiful. All right, we're on 32? Vayavu Ha'ish Habayata. Why Fatah Hagamalim Vayatin Tivan Yumishpo Laga Malim Yumaim Liphats Ruglaw We Ragle Ha Anashim Asher Ito. And it came about, came in the man, the house. And he unloaded. The word unloaded there, it means to set free. He unloaded the animals and they felt like they were free. They took all the camels and all the saddles off of them and everything. And by the way, a lot of times how many of you saw the films that I did on Sunday morning? A lot of rich people, when they traveled across, they took these great big camels. Some camels were larger than others. And they had these great big camels, and they had like a portable tent on top of the camels. I took a picture of one of those. That was like a motor home on top of a camel home, okay? And they unloaded all this and set the camels free now. They unloaded the camels. And he gave straw and fodder to the camels. Look at that word, that preposition, to the camels. Le, la, gemalim, to the camels. And waters. Waters is almost always plural, isn't it? Camels drank a lot of water. How much does a cow out here on the dairies and most of the time of the year, how much water does a camel drink a day? 50 gallons a day. A cow drinks 50 gallons a day. What about a cow, a camel? They can go for 4 or 5 or 6 days without water. How much water do you think they drink in the end of that time? A lot. And waters to wash. Look at that, the word to wash there. Liphats. To wash Ruglaw, his feet, and feet of the men who with him. The Ha-Anashim, the men with him. Who were with him. Let's go on 24:33 now. Y-S-M, and then I left the word out. It's Y-U-S-H-A-M, Lefana, Likol, Wyomer, Lo, Okal, Od, M, Debarti, Debare, Wyomer. There are. All right. And was placed, and he put, pretty much, see that word up there? And was placed, or he put, to his face to eat. He's going to put some things up to his face to eat. And he said, not, I shall eat until. Now here we have Laban trying to feed Eliezer. All right? He's going to soften him up, and he's going to go in for the kill. He's going to get more stuff for this girl. He's going to get a great big dowry. Now, this is a young girl, too. Remember, she's not much older than Hannah back there. So, Hannah, how would you like to take off 400 miles and never see your mom and daddy again? And be engaged to this guy that you have never seen before? Huh? Is that scary? That's real scary, isn't it? Well, you just think of Rebecca right now. Here she is. She's about her age. All right? And she has never met this guy before. She's got this great big nose ring weighing 240 grains in her nose and a pound of gold on her arms. The dowry now. And this is her. Now, this is her. She's in the home. Just put yourself in her place now, okay? Just think about it. Here's Laban, her older brother, and here this girl is. All right? And then here, Eliezer is, and he said, I'm not going to eat. I won't eat till I have said what I need to say. I shall not eat if I have spoken my words. And he said, speak. All right, now he's got a speech to make. He's got a speech to make. Well, I wish we had that Living Bible today. This would probably be real good. Have you got the Amplified back there, Brother Don? Why don't you go back and read this a little bit, okay? Back about, what, 31, 32, and 33?
We cry, come in. You blessed of the Lord. Why do you stand outside? For I have made the house ready and prepared a place for the camel. So the man came into the house and ungirded his camels and gave straw and provender for the camel and water to bathe his feet and the feet of the men who were with him. A meal was set before him, but he said, I will not eat until I have told of my errand.
All right, now here they are. First of all, they didn't set up to a table. They didn't have tables back then. He goes in here into his house, and his house may have been a big sprawling tent. I don't know, maybe he lived in a solid rock house or whatever. But here in this living room, which may have been on top of the house, most of the time in the summertime, they ate on the roof. Here's a house like this, and they had a little fence around the house, and they would go up outside and stairs, and they would go up here, and they'd eat up here because it was cooler. All right? And the house wasn't so cool. So they go up there, but they're not sitting on chairs. They're laying up to a coffee table that's kind of like this. They come around there. You lay up to the coffee table like this, and you reach out there, and you've got food all over this table, okay? And around here are pallets. How many of you know what a pallet is? That's where you throw a bunch of blankets down. Around, all the way around this table is pallets, and then there's usually a servant coming on this side and putting things on the table. Okay? So you're laid up here, and you're laying out there. You're not sitting up in a chair, and you're laying out there, and their feet are like this, sticking out here. So they come along, and a servant takes a basin and takes the people's sandals off, and they wash their feet all along here. Okay? Now his feet have been washed, and food is set before him. All right? And they've been praying. They've been doing all kinds of stuff. Or in the meanwhile. Of course, Laban is what? What kind of a person is he? Is he monotheistic? What is he? What is Laban? Religiously, what is Laban? He's a polytheist. He probably believes in ancestor worship. Remember when Rachel took his gods? His gods were probably images that the little images that he had were probably images of Abraham and well, whoever, way back to Terah, whoever. They were praying to their ancestors. In Korea, they pray to their ancestors all the time, don't they, Brother Abe? They pray to their ancestors. Buddhism is ancestor worship, isn't it? That's basically what they were doing. You go back into many of the races, and they worshiped their ancestors. And they made effigies of them. And they worship them. And that's his little gods that Rachel took off with, was his ancestors. Well, he's praying and going on and doing all that kind of stuff all the time. They're very, very religious people. All right? And so he is going to speak now. This is the situation. They're laying up to the table. He is not going to be still. He said, I'm going to speak. And when you speak, you do what? Get back up on your feet and you start talking and walking back and forth. He's going to make a speech now. Right? And 34 says, Wayomer, Abed, Abraham, Anoki. And he said, a slave of Abraham I am. All right. I'm a slave of Abraham. I am a bought and paid for slave. He was also going to be his heir until he had Isaac. And then we have the word Jehovah in the next one there. Y-Davar, Barak, Eph, Adonai, Meod, Y-Yigdal, Y-Yitin, Lo, Son, Yuvakar, We Keseth, We Zahav, We Av Badim, You Shi Fa Chat, Yugi Malim, We Hamorim. All right. And Jehovah has blessed my master, my Lord, Adonai. Abraham was a king. And he was a master. He was a general over an army. All of this, you know, Abraham was a very mighty man. We know that. Exceedingly, meod, exceedingly. Y-Yigdal, and he has become great. And he has given to him flocks sown. This is flocks of sheep and goats, okay? These are the little guys. Flocks of sheep and goats. All right, he's given him much sheep and goats. Page 838, if you look in Brown, Driver, and Briggs, you can look that up. And herds, all right? Herds, this word herds here, what is this word? What does that mean? This is cows. These are animals that you can break the ground with. These are animals that you harness. This is usually oxen. And by the way, all of the animals back then, an ox is what? What in America, what is an ox? Every time you see an ox in the Bible, you need to understand it's different than the ox in America. And the ox in a lot of places in the world today. God forbid the neutering, the castrating of all bulls and goats, which would be ram, or billy goats, and rams. They could not neuter any of those. They had to leave them where they could breathe. That was a gift that God gave them, so they could not neuter them. Now, an ox is a neutered, it is a steer. It's a great big steer. But it's so large and so powerful that they use them to plow with and to pull wagons and things, okay? But they were the reason why they started neutering them and making them into steers, because a steer is not as strong and is a lot more docile than a bull is. A bull is a powerful animal, and he's thinking about breeding. All right? Camels could not be neutered. A male camel is a very powerful animal, and during mating season, camels fight. They used to have camel fights. Over there in the Middle East, they would have camels, the male camels, they put them out there, and they would watch them, and they would fight to the death. Just like chickens and dogs, they would fight these. Well, see, these animals, when they're not neutered, they're very powerful and dangerous, to some speak. In the law of Moses, it says, if you got a bull, it'll say it's, if you got an ox, but that's actually wrong, because they didn't have any oxes. They had animals that were what we call a voker. And voker also means the break of day. It means to break. And voker, this animal, is a draft animal that you can use to break ground with a plow, okay? If you had an animal that was so dangerous that he would hurt someone, you had to kill him or else put him in a pen that was strong enough to hold him. If you allowed your bull to get out and hurt somebody, you were in a lot of trouble. You were liable. Property damage or anything. If you kill someone, the bull had to be killed too because he shed blood. And maybe if you did it negligently, you would have to die. Capital punishment because you were negligent. All right, so that's the word boker right there. All right? And herds and silver. All right? And silver. We kaseh. and gold, we zahav. And male slaves, and female slaves. He's got a lot, he's got an army. Abraham's got an army now. And camels, and male jacks. This is a male donkey. This is a jack. All right? And camels and jacks. Male donkeys. They're jennies and jacks. How many of you learned something about animals there at all? All right? 2436. 2436. And we're about to ready to turn you loose here pretty soon. Waphtalim. Sarah. Eshet. Adonai. Ben. La Adonai. Achare. Ziknata. Wayato. Wayaten, that is. Lo. Et. Call, Asher, Lo. I think I want to move back to Nevada where it's not springtime yet. It's still winter. No flowers. And has borne Sarah, a wife of my master, my Lord. Now remember, Sarah was his half, was Abraham's half-sister, wasn't she? They had the same father, but not the same mother. And has borne Sarah, a wife of my master, my Lord, a son, Ben. Ben means what? According to a pattern. Ben means according to a pattern. To my Lord. After her having become old. Zignata. That in Greek, that's what we call geriatric. Geriatric. You have a geriatric day yet? Most of you haven't. Geriatric day. Having become old to him. Now, she is old. How old was she when she had this kid? 90 years old. He was 100. She was 90. Now, a 100-year-old man can have kids, but I'll tell you what, a 90-year-old woman is pretty rough. It's pretty impossible. That was an absolute miracle. We know that Abraham had a child just before this with Hagar. And then now he has a child with Sarah. She finally conceives. And then later on, after Sarah dies, he marries who? Keturah. And he has more children. So it wasn't Abraham that was impotent here. It was Sarah. And it was an absolute miracle. Not only was it a miracle, she was 90 years old when she had the kid. All right. 24:37. Vayash b'ine. That's a long word, isn't it? Adonai. Lemor. Lo. Teka. Isha. Libne. Medbenot. Hakenani. Asher. Anoki. Yasher. The arts, so. And he calls me to swear. When you swear, what do you do? It comes from Shiva, all right? What does it mean? When you swear, what do? What does it literally mean? You fence yourself in. You fence yourself in. That's what it literally means. You fence yourself in. It's orko in Greek. It means to fence yourself in. It means to limit yourself on what you're going to do. It means a contract. Now, this is really weird because we know that Abraham caused him to swear was by putting his hand under his thigh, which really wasn't under his thigh. We know that, don't we? Really weird. That's unusual. As Cindy said, he goes, yay. Simple as that. But our time is so different now than what it was back then. My master, Adonai, saying, Lemur, call infinitive construct, saying, and there we come. It comes from the word amer, saying, not, little old adverb of negation. Not, you shall take Isha a wife. What does the word Isha mean? What does the word Isha mean? Out of man, literally. All right? A wife for my son, Livni. See the word for on there? That's that preposition on front of it. That lamet, for my son, my heir, my according to my pattern, from the daughters. Meh benot. The word meh on the front of that, that's from. That's also a preposition. Meh benot. From the ha-kenani. Ha-kenani. From the Canaanites. The Canaan, they called the land of Canaan or Canaan. That was the lowlands is what they called it. But what does Canaan actually mean? Canaan means what? Let's get back to the root, the etymology of it. What does Canaan mean? Cindy, you remember. Marilyn, you remember what Canaan means? Canaan. All right. Cain. What does Cain mean? Cain means gotten. 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 When Eve had Cain, she said, I have gotten a man, even Jehovah. F. Jehovah. Even Jehovah. All right. The Canaanite. Which I dwelling in land. Ba'artza, in the land. I am dwelling. Masculine singular call participle. I am dwelling in the land. He fenced himself in. I had to swear by this. All right. You want to go any further? Or you want a little bit more? Or you want a little less? One more verse? All right. One more verse. We'll go 24:38. By the way, it's good to have you back in the class, young lady. Emma, where's your husband tonight?
He had just finished walking around the park. You know what? I think that's Hebrew class.
You tell him I said hi.
I know.
This is a really unusual. Bill Davis, that's his name. His great-great-grandfather married all of my family in Paul's Valley, Oklahoma. Sarah Lambert and Sam Paul and Bill Paul, all of them were married by his grandparents. Now, that's pretty weird, all the way from Paul's Valley to here in Bakersfield, California, in this Hebrew class, all right? That's providence or something, I don't know. M, Lo, L, Beth, Avi, Telek, Weel, Mishpat-ti. All right. What we, La, Ta. All right. Isha, Livni. All right. If not, you could translate this, but if not, by inference, unto house my father, you shall walk, and unto my family, you shall take wife for my son. In other words, what Abraham said, I want you to go back to the family of my father, and Sarah and him had the same father. I want you to go back to my father's house, and I want you to get a wife for my son. Okay? The word a family there, mishpata, mishpati here, that it literally goes back to the word semen, from a father, all of them from the same semen is what it literally means. That's what it literally means. It's paterfamilia, the father of the family, in Latin. It's patria, or pater in Greek. It means the head of the family. It all goes back to one head, way back. And who was that? Huh? Who? Well, Adam, yeah, in law, but in this family. Huh? Terah. It goes all the way back to Terah. All the way. That's where we are. Well, that's where he went. He's telling his story. We'll continue his story next week on 24 and verse 39. By the way, I have more of those. That is just the first part of the volume 3 of Genesis. I am still working on the other half of it. I've got to finish working on it, and then I'll print it, and I'll just, we'll take it, and you just stick it right in your little binder when you get through with it, okay? How far are we are there? 30 and what? 30 and 16? All right. Anyway, we'll go on and work on it. Are you enjoying this? There's a lot to learn in here. When you look at from the Hebrew and from the original text, from the manners and customs of the time, there is a lot to learn because things are a lot different today than they were back then. A lot different. All right. Well, go out and do something eternal. Let's have a word of prayer, and we'll turn you loose on the world. Let you be missionaries out there. Either you're a missionary or a mission field, by the way. And Hannah, what do you think about this? This is pretty exciting for that little old girl, wasn't it? Scary. Now you're going to find out how much faith that Rebecca had in God. I think that's the girl that has got more faith than anybody, is Rebecca. She's got more faith than anybody. All right. Brother Harry, would you dismiss us in prayer, please, brother?
Thank you once again.